the front office.
We'll never be totally satisfied till we win the championship.
You know, we have a lot of young players on this team, and new coaching staff. I think we're happy about it.
To the coach's office.
I'm enjoying the interaction with the coaches. I'm enjoying working with the players. I enjoy the process.
From the Browns of the present.
I'm thrilled to be where I'm at each and every day to play quarterback here.
I am a threat. I'm on the football field. I can possibly get that football, and when I get the football, I better strap the helmet on tight, you know, make sure all your 10 stripes buckled up because it'll take you for a ride.
To the Browns of the past.
Bernie Kosar joining us.
Brian Seif.
Jerry Shirk. Clay Matthews.
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nice to pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have done it!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
All right, in this football Monday, playing a little hurt tonight. Playing a little hurt, just a slight bit under the weather, but you know what? You tough it out. That's what you do in the National Football League, and that's what I'm doing tonight. So I apologize for the voice. It's not up to top level. Some might say it's an improvement. We'll see how this works out, but we're gonna fight this through for the next hour. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Looking forward, this show in part is going to address what we saw over the weekend, the playoffs, and interestingly, part of that story involves the Browns. Of course, the Atlanta Falcons bowing out against the New York Giants, the Browns now knowing for sure that they have the 22nd overall pick of the draft that would belong to the Falcons in addition to the 4th overall pick that belongs to the Browns, and that 22nd pick came via the trade that allowed the Falcons to get Julio Jones. And yeah, the Falcons made the playoffs, the Browns didn't, but that's another early bounce for the Falcons. As I recall it, and I wrote and talked about all this for NFL.com prior to joining the Browns. This was long before I came aboard. The Browns wasn't even thinking of this particular job back then. And I wrote and talked about the fact that this did not, to me, look like a really good trade for the Falcons. It looked like, to me, the Falcons were going overboard trying to get what they identified as a missing piece that would put them over the top and put them in the Super Bowl. And where did it get them? All right, you know, they went to the wall, made this deal, and I maintain then, as I'll maintain now, the Browns got the best of this deal. Because here are the Falcons, and, you know, missing the playoffs just by a week, I mean, being in the playoffs by a week, I should say, or missing them altogether, what's the difference? You're in it for a week, and understandably, if we were talking about this Browns team being in the postseason and going one and done, there would be elation just in making it. We know the feeling. It would be very similar to what was going on in Detroit. Great elation, but a one and done there. But that's the point of the Falcons deal. This has been repeated postseasons that they've reached, and with the same result, and the trade they made with the Browns didn't get them any further, is the point of that. So Browns with the 4th and 22nd picks in April. We're going to have Bernie Kosar with us, so we'll talk some postseason with him, talk some Tim Tebow with him, talk about the other quarterback performances, and just in general what his take was on Wild Card Weekend. And a little Browns talk with him. And then we're going to drill into the wide receiver position. Positional reviews, we've been doing these. We started this last week. We'll continue it this week. And looking back at the 2011 season, position by position. So we'll go into that into greater detail tonight. By the way, today it's Let's Move It Monday, brought to you by Cleveland Clinic. Try to get 10,000 steps in a day this week and visit letsmoveit.org to learn more on how to stay active. We take your questions here via the Browns official Facebook page. And so Johnny wants to know, the Browns were 9-23 in the 2 years before Holmgren, and now 9-23, 2 years of Holmgren's reign. Now, how have we improved? I would say this. I think the foundation that has been put in place, especially on the defensive side of the ball these last two drafts, is notable. And it is worthy of saying that there's something there to build upon. I think there's a lot more work to be done in offense. We know that. But I'm not, you know, I'm not of the belief that this is spinning your wheels or being on a treadmill. There is the progress. And I think in terms of, you know, the idea of putting a scheme in place that I think can work, the West Coast offense. This is different than what was here before, but having someone like Pat Shurmur who has the understanding of that, and I don't throw my hands up and say it's going nowhere because of the poor offensive production of a year ago. I'm saying that this can move forward with the right added on offense and the trust that the same people who brought you some really good defensive help the last 2 years will get busy on the offensive side of the ball in this upcoming offseason and beyond with the draft, with free agency. And that's where I'm putting the faith of why to believe that this is going to be a better situation. All right, in a couple of minutes, we are going to have a conversation with the one and only Bernie Kosar. Going to talk some wild card playoffs with him, little Browns with him, but mostly what we saw this weekend. Tim Tebow, Tebow Mania. I know that's been the predominant subject of the day, and why not, of the weekend. It was pretty amazing stuff. Knocking off those Steelers. Yeah, who thought that would happen? Who thought the Broncos would be advancing and the Steelers would be home at this point? Not so sure there were a whole lot of people in that camp. I know a lot of people are saying it now, I told you so, but I'm not a big I told you so guy. I think that's a function of wishful thinking. This is a big surprise. And we'll talk more about that and much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty is in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Palma Heights, Vermillion.
Browns fans, stay connected to the team with the Cleveland Browns official mobile app. It's free and available for your iPhone or Android. Download the app today to gain access to news, team information, and exclusive videos on the go. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com for more information.
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific running, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12. True to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. Now, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Everyone likes alternatives. We like to assess our options and choose the person or place or item that is right for us. Sometimes, this means that we need to go outside of the box and try something new in order to perhaps obtain something better. This is Robin Trzezinski, and if you are not comfortable on a traditional innerspring mattress, you might want to try an alternative sleep product. At the Original Mattress Factory, we have two latex foam models and now offer a new memory foam mattress. The latter is constructed with 4 inches of high-density memory foam and features a specially formulated airflow layer to reduce heat transfer and response time. These layers create a unique feel while still imparting the temperature and pressure-sensitive characteristics of memory foam. As far as quality is concerned, our Serenity model is equivalent to our top-of-the-line innerspring and latex models. Give it a try and determine if it's the right alternative for you. It might just be the perfect end to your everyday.
The Original Mattress Factory, 4930 State Road, right at the 480 ramp.
Browns fans, stay connected to the team with the Cleveland Browns official mobile app. It's free and available for your iPhone or Android. Download the app today to gain access to news, team information, and exclusive videos on the go. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com for more information.
And we welcome you back, excuse me, to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And this segment is brought to you by Madden NFL 12, in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Bernie, oh yeah. how you can throw. Yeah, Bernie.
And joining us, as he always does on this show, is Bernie Kosar. Welcome, Bern.
Hey, Vic. Good to be with you.
All right. Playoff weekend. Interesting stuff in these wild card games, and cannot let any conversation about the playoffs go too far without getting your take on Tim Tebow, on what he did. Did he make you a believer? And I'm not sure how much of a disbeliever you were before this past weekend.
Well, first and foremost, I nowhere near was as negative on the game, the Broncos, and Tebow as I think just about every of the so-called experts were. I mean, we even talked about it last week. I talked about it on some of the pregame shows that I really thought Pittsburgh was inordinately beat up going into that game, losing Ryan Clark to the unfortunate thing where he had to be sat down,
right.
Then losing two D linemen, specifically Casey Hampton, their nose tackle, against a running offense. Those are big moves that you just can't discount. Ben Roethlisberger was nowhere near full strength. So it was a nice time to catch them. And then, just my history and Cleveland's history, we know how challenging it is to play out west in Denver. So that going into the game, I kind of thought that it wasn't going to be as big a no contest as some people thought. But, you know, John Elway's done a phenomenal job taking a team that had the second pick in the draft last year and turning it into this almost magical Cinderella type season where so many special unique things have happened. I think
right.
Tim Tebow now is 4-0 in overtime games. I just think it's fun and exciting. I really enjoy watching it, and I really like the way yesterday he was aggressive down the field with it, and a lot was said about John Elway going out on a limb last week and being a little unorthodox by the president of the football operations telling his quarterback he needs to pull the trigger. Well, Tebow more than answered the bell, and he pulled the trigger phenomenally yesterday.
Yeah, and it was an interesting game that led to some discussion too about, you know, the when you look at how strategically how both teams handled things from the Broncos side. I thought they were very well coached and well, you know, give John Fox and his staff kudos for getting this team ready to face Vic LeBeau's style of defense and anticipate correctly, as I think anyone would, that the defense is going to go overboard to try to take away your running game. They're going to overcommit. Now, maybe they went way too far with that, but putting nine guys in the box and, you know, at times having, what, 11 men up there, I mean, basically telling the Broncos, and especially Tebow, if you're going to beat us, you will beat us with your throwing arm, and it's the same arm that we saw, you know, struggle against Buffalo and struggle against New England and some other games that were played. So not trusting that he could do that would be the way to go. I don't know if that philosophy was still something to stick with. As you mentioned, that Casey Hampton gets hurt, Brent Kiesel gets hurt during the course of the game. There is no Ryan Clark at safety. Are you playing with fire when you do that? And should there have been an adjustment? Should the great Dick LeBeau have changed his thinking and said maybe we better be a little more conventional with our coverage?
Well, I don't think there's any question today when he's talking to himself that he wishes he had a little more convention to him and did some things differently. There's no doubt about when you play with fire, sometimes you get burned. And some, not only with these 11 guys around the line of scrimmage, is it challenging to do in the NFL that if one guy makes a mistake, there's no second level defense. So, you know, Denver, as we know, because they're an NFL team, and we certainly saw yesterday, they have some athletic guys. And getting past that first wave of defense, that first level of guys, if there's no safety, no secondary support, no second level tackling or coverage, boom, it's to the house.
Right.
And Denver got three, four, five plays yesterday that are just huge chunk plays that flip the field around and flip the score around.
And, you know, I want to give Tebow this credit. He was accurate when he needed to be accurate. Yes, he had a couple of throws that just looked flat out ugly and looked like the kinds of throws that had raised those questions about whether or not he'd even make it through yesterday's game, whether John Fox would yank him in favor of Brady Quinn at some point, as was widely reported. And you know, Fox was even kind of coy about that beforehand. I know, talking with John Lynch, saying, you know, I expect our starters to play well, expect our backups to be ready, which was kind of a non-answer to the question of whether or not Brady Quinn was coming in there, which is also a smart thing to do, keep the other team guessing a little bit, and that's fine as well. But I thought he was accurate, Tebow, the times he needed to be, and I also thought he was poised as he should be. And, you know, when he runs, you know, he's 240 pounds, a very solid athlete running. So that's another factor that a defense has to contend with, and using all those assets. And then hearing him talk about afterward the aggressiveness of the Steeler defense and using that against the Steelers, which, you know, which is the right way to go. You know, let them over pursue, let them do the things that they do to get themselves, I mean, make their strength a weakness.
Yeah, and to that point too, the aggressiveness of the Steeler defense, even to a degree, may have been hampered because even physical guys like James Harrison in the run game, you saw him pretty indecisive slash tentative at times on some of the option plays that Denver was doing. And I do think something else came out of yesterday's game more globally that doesn't pertain maybe as much to Tim Tebow. There's so much been made about leading with your helmet, hitting in the head, the helmet-to-helmet shots.
Right.
And I think we saw a precursor yesterday of what we're going to unfortunately slash sadly see more in the league. And James Harrison took out Decker's knee, and it looked horrific, like the knee was completely shot on that challenge play earlier in the game.
Right.
And if you got guys now, and it wasn't a cheap shot because he's not allowed, guys aren't allowed to go high anymore, so if you can't go high, your option is low. And I remember, not to keep saying back when I played, but I just remember, people don't like guys around their knees. And if you can't go high, you're going to have to go low. You're going to probably see more hits like that, more knee injuries, more leg shots like that. And that was really hard for me to look at yesterday.
Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Bernie, when you look at postseason performances, and oftentimes those can become guides as to certain trends and ways you might approach things as another team might in the league. And we look to the Browns and what they may do through this offseason and setting themselves up for 2012. As much as this is a quarterback story this weekend with Tebow, Eli Manning, Drew Brees, T.J. Yates, all in one form or another performing well for their teams, it also seems to me that running the football was so vital to these winning performances, and that it's a reminder that you better have a strong running game as well.
Yeah, a strong running game, a physical presence within the offensive line and the running game really is essential. And I don't think there's anything more evident, of course, of the T.J. Yates, a rookie quarterback. That game, the running game, was a big help. But I think it also showed when you don't have it, a supposedly good team like the Atlanta Falcons and Matt Ryan saw them mess up three or four short yardage plays, two of which were fourth and 2 inches. And yeah, the play calls were terrible, doing with Michael Turner as your running back, doing multiple quarterback sneaks that failed. But at the end of the day, the line of scrimmage was moved backwards of the Falcons, and in the playoffs, the level of intensity, the level of physical play is heightened even more so from a regular season game. And those teams that physically could take it to you have, I think, a distinct advantage.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it wouldn't be the worst thing for this Browns team if you could look at, and it was something we thought you were going to see in 2011, but a power running game and you know, maybe have that right-handed ability to just take it to teams physically to set up your passing game and be more effective throwing the ball, because teams have to respect what you do running the football.
Yes, our offense and even sometimes to the degree the quarterback and receivers, I personally think looks significantly better when the guards, young guards, got better at the end of the season, like Alex Mack in the middle, Joe Thomas at left tackle, and then when Passos was healthy, and most importantly, Peyton Hillis was healthy, you saw a distinct difference in the flavor and ability of the offense to kind of take it to the front seven. I think it slowed down the pass rush. It put the defense and defensive front line a little bit on their heels, and I think gave the offense a little bit more room to maneuver.
Any chance as you look at the remaining quarterbacks in the postseason, but with especially with Eli Manning, can you see him kind of rewriting the Manning story a little bit that had been so driven toward Peyton being the guy and is the guy, I mean, statistically, historically, but his brother, if this continues with the Giants' run, that the younger brother gets a chance to maybe win a second ring, something older brother didn't do, and then Drew Brees in New Orleans, that whole discussion about who is truly the most valuable player in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees. Drew's got an opportunity to certainly influence that story more.
Well, you're splitting hairs in terms of the MVP between Rodgers and Drew Brees. My kids were happy that Drew Brees stopped at 466 the other night on his playoff throws. But those two quarterbacks are definitely phenomenal. But Eli Manning certainly isn't a letdown from them. I've been a fan of his for a long time. They actually tweeted during the game before it got out of line that I was so impressed with his attention to detail, his command of the offense. He is running single-handedly that offense, not as maybe flamboyantly as his brother, but he has just as much of the control and emphasis on it, and it's just really impressive. And the Giants look as good as they did when they went on that Super Bowl run. Their front four and their front seven was thoroughly dominating yesterday. And Eli Manning's throwing the ball and getting them to his receivers, and they're making some plays.
Bernie, as we look at one of the things we're doing tonight is taking a review perspective of the Browns receiver position in 2011. Can't let you go without just getting a couple of thoughts from you on the Browns receiver position, which obviously was, came up short. I mean, it was part of the disappointment of their passing game, but what were your thoughts?
Well, you summed it up pretty good there. There's no doubt what we watched yesterday, we weren't seeing during our games during the year. Guys making plays after the catch. Josh Cribbs had a nice season progressing as a wide receiver. Greg Little came around a little bit for a rookie and for a guy who didn't play last year. But that depth, that type of playmaking ability, that ability to invoke fear in the defense wasn't there this year. I know that's something that I think all Browns fans and the organization wants to really look at to improve going forward in 2012.
Ernie, great stuff as always. Thank you so much, and we'll catch up with you again soon, my friend.
Sounds good, Vic.
That is Bernie Kosar joining us, as he regularly does here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12, in stores now, EA Sports, it's in the game. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here, talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Did you know that Liberty has been part of the local community for over 30 years and has five locations throughout Northeast Ohio that are close, convenient, and easy to find? With over 1,500 vehicles to choose from, guaranteed financing, and award-winning service departments in all locations, the experience is impossible to beat. Go to Liberty Ford today or visit libertyford.com.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop in your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Bucket at the lube or swing through the pickup window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, Browns fans, Bernie Kosar here. As a former NFL quarterback, I know what it's like to get hit hard, but you can keep your wallet from getting hit hard when you take advantage of Discount Drug Mart's $1.99 generic prescription program. Discount Drug Mart offers hundreds of prescriptions and non-prescription medications starting at just $1.99. Just like my offensive line protected me, Discount Drug Mart will protect your wallet. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
Chris Fedor here, looking for a perfect New Year's resolution? How about putting yourself in a brand new Volkswagen or Mazda? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Then get out and see Scott, Steve, and their team at Madonna VW Mazda, and they'll help you get your new year started right. Located at 3950 Pearl Road, they're home to the low price guarantee, so you know you're always getting the best deal on any new VW or Mazda. If you find a better deal, they'll give you $500 on the spot. Check out their incredible fleet of 2012 models, like the all-new Passat. That's Motor Trend's 2012 Car of the Year. Or how about the Mazda 3? Now featuring SkyActiv technology, it gets you over 40 miles per gallon. So don't procrastinate again this year. Get out to 3950 Pearl Road in Medina or check them out online at MedinaVWMazda.com. You can see actual pictures and pricing of their vehicles in stock. It's time to experience the Medina Volkswagen Mazda difference today.
So here you are, stuck in rush hour traffic, thinking about your back pain. You know, if you'd used a Thermacare heat wrap this morning, it would still be working. That's because Thermacare is the only wrap with patented heat cells that penetrate deep to relax, soothe, and unlock tight muscles for up to 16 hours of relief. That's 8 hours while you wear it, and 8 more even after it's off. Can your patch say that? Can you? You'd be sitting pretty all the way home. For up to 16 hours of back pain relief, try Thermacare. Use as directed.
When Lexus launched the RX, it was the original luxury crossover. And then, following its success, our competitors began to introduce their own version. But over the years, one thing has become clear. While the RX is often imitated, it remains impossible to duplicate. Didn't just set the bar for the competition, it raises it every day. From building the first luxury hybrid to offering a pre-collision system with radar technology and a class-leading 10 airbags. When innovation happens, it happens here first. Which may have something to do with why the Lexus RX also has the best driver loyalty in its class. The Lexus RX. Why settle for a copy when you can drive the original? See your Cleveland Akron area Lexus dealer.
Based on the average loyalty rate of all SUVs in the Lexus near luxury SUV segment since 2000 using R.L. Polk & Company's household loyalty methodology.
Back with you on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. And this wide receiver's position review segment, it's driven by Liberty Ford.
Time to take a closer look at the Browns wide receiver position in 2011, and helping us to do that is our good friend Scott Petrick from the Elyria Chronicle Telegram. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Vic.
So, Scott, I don't know about you, but going into the year, I wasn't entirely certain or even convinced in the smallest way that Greg Little would end up as the leading receiver for the Browns. I thought he would be a prominent part of their passing game, obviously, and he was brought in as a second-round pick to be that. But at the end of it all, he ended up being the best of what the Browns had, and even then, we're talking about a guy who went through his stretch of the drop passes and struggles that a rookie often has. But in general, I guess it spoke to the idea that this was a spot that definitely helped contribute to the problems this team had scoring this year.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think it was probably the biggest question mark entering the season, and I'm not sure it's not the biggest question mark entering the off season. You know, Little did come in and he was productive, but after him, there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of questions, a lot of disappointment. It started with Brian Orbisky. You know, they thought he was going to improve in the West Coast offense and really thrive, and instead he gets cut early in the season. You know, so he was a disappointment. Muhammad Masquah battled some injuries, and he came in the season kind of as your number one guy. He finishes with 31 catches. So I think it was kind of a disappointing year all around, because I know the fans wanted to see growth from that position, and I'm not sure they saw enough.
Yeah, and, you know, I think in terms of how the offense is set up, the West Coast, because there was a lot of attention to that, saying, well, maybe the system isn't designed to allow receivers to make the big plays. But in fact, I think the West Coast is designed for receivers to thrive and thrive on those shorter intermediate routes, those the horizontal type of passing game that turns into big plays after the catch.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you look at Green Bay, and I know they run a slightly different version of the West Coast, but they have a number of receivers that have big ears and big plays and run after catch. And I know that's what Pat Shurmur is looking for out of his offense, and I know he's disappointed that some of those shorter crossing routes like we talked about didn't turn into bigger plays, even first downs, where you need to break one tackle to turn that third and eight into a first and ten, and instead right. It's fourth and one or fourth and two. And there are a number of those plays all year, and I think Shurmur would tell you it's because they didn't get that production from the receivers, whether it's making a guy miss, running the exact right route, or breaking a tackle to get that first down. I think that's what they missed maybe most of all.
You know, the guy that you kept close attention on, of course, is Mohamed Massaquah, who came in as the number one guy. And he's hurt from the very beginning of the season, suffering that injury during the offseason lockout workout. So it was a setback for sure, and then it's compounded. He gets a concussion during the year, but it just seemed like Momass was really never the same, quite the same guy that maybe we had seen before, and never really caught on consistently. I mean, you saw a brilliant catch or two mm-hmm. from the guy. There's no question, and makes that catch against Miami, you know, clutch
yep.
play, makes a hell of a catch against Arizona toward the end of the season. But in between, we didn't see enough of what I thought he could be for this team.
No, I'm with you. And I think a lot of people are down on Momass. I'm not. I think he's a legitimate NFL receiver. I think he's probably a two. If you could bring in another guy and make him your three,
right,
I think you're in a great spot. But I do think the injuries get to him, the concussion, you know, and I'm not sure he's been quite right since the concussion he had in 2010 when Harrison drilled him. You know, he just hasn't had a lot of production since then. I don't know if you can point your finger at that, but I think that probably plays a role. And then he had the foot injury at the end of the year. So I would like to see Momass have 1 year where he's completely healthy or as close as you can be. And, you know, he's coming back. He's under contract next year. So I think that gives him one more year to show what he can do in this league, and hopefully you get a quarterback, or you have the passing game where the quarterback has enough chance to get him the ball.
And on the bright side, to see Jordan Norwood excel as a young guy and a real fringe player who comes in to make himself a prominent factor, a really precise, good route runner. Again, sadly, it gets cut short for him because of injury, but up to the time that he was injured, lots of promising things from Jordan Norwood and what he was able to contribute, and just seemed to be the right fit for an offense that, and I know it's true with all schemes, but particularly this West Coast, where it's timing and it's getting in the right spot at the right time, and your quarterback, depending on you to be there, it just looked like Colt McCoy could have that confidence that Jordan Norwood would be there.
Yeah, and it's the kind of offense where you need to make a guy miss, and he does that better than maybe anybody else in that position group.
Yeah.
Because he's short and he's shifty. You know, he's not Wes Walker, but he's that kind of body type, the short
right.
guy that you line up in the slot, and if you've got to cover him inside and out, it's tough to keep him when you don't know which way he's going to go, and he can beat you on the quick out, can beat you in a little in move or the slant. So, coming out of training camp, I didn't quite believe general manager Tom Heckert when he kept raving about Norwood being a legitimate NFL guy, but I think he showed it this year, and gives you some depth going into next year. We can say, you know what, we have 3, 4, 5 guys that have proved they can play at this level.
Right.
Now, whether they have to all increase their production, obviously.
Scott Petrick of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram helping us to break down the Browns receivers from the 2011 season here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And when we look at Greg Little, again, a guy who has, certainly athletically, everything you could want, size, speed, athleticism. He's not a burner, but he's fast enough, and he looks certainly athletic enough to make some of those extraordinary plays. And I think generally tough enough to be a guy that can make a living in those middle areas. When he started to drop those passes, it didn't look like a guy who was gun shy or hesitant. It just looked like a guy who had some concentration issues.
Yeah, and I think that's to be expected. He's only played receiver for a couple years in college. He missed that whole year with the suspension in Carolina. So I don't think he's as fluid as he probably will be catching the ball. You know, you see some double clutches kind of when he catches some of those balls. But I was really impressed by his toughness. There was a catch he made in Baltimore at the end of the first half,
right,
where he took a shot from Ed Reed, caught himself, and then ran over two guys. And that kind of said to me, you know, I can compete in this division with the tough Steelers and the tough Ravens. I'm tough enough. He went over the middle all year, took a bunch of big shots, got up every time. So that impressed me about him. You know, I don't think he has that elite speed that you'd ideally want from your quote-unquote number one guy. But I like the fact that he goes over the middle. I like his physicality. And I think he showed that he can make some deep catches. He made a nice one against Houston, and he made the big play against Arizona for the touchdown.
Yeah, when he took some of those big, hellacious types of hits, you see him get right up,
yep,
too. Yeah, you didn't see those kinds of things put him down, and it was almost like a matter of pride that he showed, okay, yeah, you give me your best shot, I'm still standing.
Yeah.
And the other thing about him is, attitude-wise, and when you talk with him, too, you get the feeling that the game isn't too big for him, that he knows he can, I guess, be better. And then the question becomes is how hard will he work at it? And I've heard time and again that, you know, he spends a lot of time at the jugs machine catching those extra passes after practice. And I know in this receiver group, maybe one of the issues is you don't have that many older players. In fact, you have very few. With Josh Cripps being the oldest, you don't have that much of an elderly veteran influence like a cornerback that you have with Sheldon Brown. Mm-hmm. So somebody to, like, talk to this guy and maybe be that kind of elderly brother to him.
Yeah, you know, the Browns had that with Joe Gervisius for a while. He was a great veteran presence, and he tried the mentor, like when Braylon Edwards was here. But I think Greg Little did a good job without that guy. You know, and I know Pat Shurmur, and I know President Mike Holmgren kind of took a personal interest in him because, you know, we knew about the troubles at North Carolina. We didn't know exactly what that attitude would be this year. But to be honest, you know, he punted the one ball in the stands in the preseason after he scored a touchdown. We didn't hear anything pretty much negative about Greg Little after that.
Right.
So I think that was a sign of, you know, good coaching. I'm sure it was a sign of maturity by Little. You know, you never know what the offseason does to these guys. You know, you get a little money, you get time to run around. But he showed no signs of being distracted. I thought he played hard throughout the season. He didn't complain about not getting balls when he didn't get balls. So I thought that was a positive, that he looks like he's going to be a long-time contributor.
And there's no denying, of course, that Joshua Cribbs made himself a force in this receiving core that I don't know how expected that was. Certainly, when you think of him before the season, it's mostly going to be as a return guy, and it's going to be the impact that you expect him to make on special teams coverage as well. But he, you know, he talked about before the year, I know on this show, that he wanted to be a bigger force as a receiver, just get the ball in his hands. And eventually that happened. He finished his second on the team in receptions. But what was interesting to me is that it came on sort of later in the
yep.
year. It really wasn't an all-year sort of presence.
Yeah, I know he's been here 7 years, but it's still hard to get a finger on exactly what Josh can do. Because he's played receiver before, but he's never had this production. You know, 41 catches, he tied for the team lead with 4 touchdowns. But you still wonder, is he really a number 3? Can he be a number 2? You don't want to miss him on kick returns or kick coverage. You showed how valuable he was in kick coverage once he got put in there about week 6. So I think he's a great guy to have on the team. He's a great asset. He's valuable. I just think he's kind of one of those extra pieces. Like, you don't rely on him to be your number 3, but if he has to do it, you'd be fine with him being your 3rd guy. And he showed that if you give him the ball, he'll be productive, period.
So overall, do we think that, I mean, we certainly know that there's room for this position to get some help. I would think, as you look at the group, there's a core here to work with. There's no doubt about that. But it will be interesting to see how much of an infusion, if at all, that you get through either draft or free agency. But that is going to be something, it's something I know that a lot of us talked about during the year. We've heard, you know, there's no commitment on the part of Tom Heckert or Mike Holmgren to say, hey, this is specifically going to be something that's addressed. But conventional thinking is that that's an area that's going to get a long look, at least.
Yeah, obviously the production wasn't enough. You know, the offense didn't score enough points. The receivers didn't dominate any games. There weren't a ton of touchdowns scored by those guys. But I do think it's a position where if you had one guy at the top of the list, and I know Holmgren and Heckert last week said they don't like to label guys number 1, number 2,
right.
But say you brought in a free agent or a top 10 draft pick that you could slide as a quote-unquote number 1 and slide everybody down, all of a sudden I think you have a legitimate, it could be a big-time receiving core. You get whoever number 1 is, Little's a good number 2, Momas I think is a really good number 3, then you get Norwood and Cribbs who both shown that they can play and produce at this level. So I think they're only one player away. Now the fact is you have to go get a legitimate player.
Yeah, and the other component to this is that there will be a new offensive coordinator, so he's going to influence how not only how the overall offense performs, but the passing game specifically, and he's going to have ideas, and maybe, and I'm not going to suggest that he'll have a dramatically different way of seeing the offense than Pat Shurmur does, but you would think that that could have something to do with how the existing receivers perform or any new guys perform.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see just how different that is, because I know it'll run the same West Coast. But, you know, coaches like different guys for different reasons. I mean, you've seen it all over the league. Guys get cut someplace and go somewhere else and blossom. So, you know, I mean, who knows? It could be Jordan Orwood turns into a bigger presence in the new coach's offense.
Great stuff, Scott. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, anytime, Vic.
He is Scott Petrick from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram helping us to break down the Browns receivers in the 2011 season on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports is in the game. Hey, Browns fans. Vic Carucci here talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Liberty has hundreds of vehicles in stock to choose from, like the 2012 Explorer Limited I'm driving right now. Great design, third row seating, navigation, plus all the technology you need right at your fingertips. With guaranteed financing and award-winning customer service, you just can't beat the Liberty Ford experience. Stop by Liberty Ford today to see for yourself or visit LibertyFord.com.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop in your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of Wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Bucket at the lube or swing through the pickup wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all those things into a real, roll-up-our-sleeves, working-together-to-achieve-your-future-goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Wow, David, this wine is really hard to find. I'll take it.
I only have two cases left. Want both?
When I first met David Santos, he left quite an impression. He had just opened his third wine and cheese store, and business was booming.
I'm thinking you'll want to pair that Burgundy with this Brie. Oh, excuse me just a second.
But he still wanted to expand. So he called Time Warner Cable Business Class for help. And that's where I came in. We sat down, looked at his options, and set up high-speed internet access for all his locations, along with a web hosting solution. Now he has a website where he can take even more orders online. At this rate, I don't think David's business will ever stop growing. This is David's business. I'm glad he's made it my business, too.
To learn more, call 866-TWC4BIZ or visit TWCBC.com. Time Warner Cable Business Class. You first, the technology follows.
Products and services not available in all areas. Some restrictions apply.
Hi, I need an insurance quote.
I've got auto quotes, home quotes, life quotes. What kind of quote?
An auto quote?
We have liability and collision with a $250 deductible going once.
Wait.
Going twice.
Wait.
Sold to the woman with the confused look on her face.
Getting a quote shouldn't be such a rush. At Liberty Mutual, we'll take the time to understand your needs so you can get the coverage that's right for you today. Find a local office at libertymutual.com/agents and take the time to speak to a Liberty Mutual agent today. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Responsibility. What's your policy?
Welcome you back to this Football Monday edition, this National Championship Night edition. Going to be tuning into that, of course, LSU, Alabama. Check out some of the players who, hey, maybe someone ends up in a Browns uniform or two from those teams tonight. We'll be watching anxiously for that. Always interesting for that. And this is driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. Browns fans, deposits, for 2012 season tickets and club-level memberships are now being accepted. To place your deposit today, call 440-824-3434 or visit ClevelandBrowns.com. And this Running Backs by the Numbers segment, it's brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. And it's time to take a look inside the numbers of the wide receiver position for the Browns in the 2011 season. Helping us to do that, Matt Florjancic. Matt, the first interesting place to start, I guess, is the overall median age of this receiver group, because maybe that explains, maybe not everything, but some parts of why this wasn't the most productive group.
Of the six players that the Browns had at wide receiver at the end of the season, the average age of those guys was about 24.8 years old, with an average of 2.33 years of NFL service. So you're looking at less than 2.5 years of game experience. So you're talking almost less than 50 games of NFL experience as an average for your guys. And your most tenured wide receiver was Joshua Cribbs at 7 years in the league. But when you look at those 7 years, the majority of those were spent learning the wide receiver position while being a key catalyst on the special teams as a kick and punt returner. He came in as a quarterback from Kent State University, earned his way onto the roster by competing as a special teamer. So from that standpoint, your most tenured then wide receiver overall would be Muhammad Massaqua. Even though he only has 3 years in the league, he has the most experience at wide receiver from an age standpoint.
Yeah, and we mentioned Greg Little as being a catalyst, as a force in this of this group, but he's 22 years old. That explains a lot when it comes to drop passes, inconsistency. Those are functions of youth, and the fact that he had a very limited collegiate career for different reasons, not the least of which was a suspension for NCAA violation. And he was also a guy who was converted from running back to wide receiver.
Yeah, Greg's had an interesting path in the NFL as a wide receiver. Like you said, he came in as a running back. He was switched over under the scheme of Butch Davis to play wide receiver, and you can still tell he's got a little bit of a running back body to him, and the fact that he is a big player. He's at 6'2", which is typically bigger than most running backs, but his body type, his muscle mass, lends itself to more of a running back than a wide receiver. But he's converted well, and he's shown flashes of brilliance since he's been drafted by the Browns. And like you said, you want a more consistent basis out of Greg. There were a lot of drop passes, and he's still trying to learn this West Coast offense. So once you put all those pieces together with Greg Little, you're going to find a guy who's been able to hone his athletic ability and become a very good and effective wide receiver in the West Coast.
Interesting to look at, and I don't know how much you take from this, but a year ago, the Browns were led by in receptions by a tight end, Ben Watson, and the number two receiver was a running back, Peyton Hillis. This year it was two receivers, actually, in Greg Little and Joshua Cribbs.
Personally, I like seeing that the wide receivers were able to step up a little bit more and answer the bell for this team. Greg Little came in and had 61 receptions for 709 yards and 2 touchdowns. His 61 receptions were the second most among all NFL rookies, only to Cincinnati's A.J. Green, who had 63 catches. And those 709 yards were 5th among rookie leaders. It's the second most catches ever by a Browns rookie in a season. Kevin Johnson still holds that record. He caught 66 passes in the 1999 season, but it's just an impressive year for Greg Little from the numbers that he put up. But it was also kind of a frustrating year for Greg and I think the Browns coaching staff too, because you saw what the numbers were when he did catch the ball.
Right.
If you take some of those drops away and turn them into receptions, he'd easily breeze past Kevin Johnson's record and could be pushing towards a 1,000-yard season.
And other than his big punt return for a touchdown, Joshua Cribbs' impact on special teams, not what we normally expect from him. However, he makes up for it somewhat as a guy who contributed heavily in the receiver department this year or this past season. There's some numbers that back that up.
Yeah, Josh really had a good year, and really it was his breakout year as a wide receiver. And when you look at his career numbers, he almost eclipsed them in 1 year. He had 41 receptions after the season was over. His previous high was 23 in 2010. He gained 518 yards on those 41 receptions, which almost mirrored his complete wide receiver success in his first 6 years, as he had 580 yards receiving combined between his first six NFL seasons. He entered the year with 3 receiving touchdowns, caught 4, and tied for the team lead with Evan Moore in that department of 4 touchdown receptions. So overall, Josh was definitely a bright spot for this team, and we saw his sure hands really come into play. He made a couple of really nice grabs on some long drives that ended in touchdowns for this team, and that's what you want to see out of one of your leaders.
And quickly, just some highlight numbers on Mohamed Massaqua and Jordan Norwood.
Yeah, Massaqua had a similar year to what he had done in his previous 2 years in terms of catches, 31 catches. His yards were down just 384, but he did have two touchdowns, including a 14-yard game winner in the waning seconds against the Miami Dolphins and a one-point Browns victory at Cleveland Browns Stadium last September. And then Norwood did a nice job after not catching a pass in the NFL. He hauled in 23 receptions for 268 yards and one touchdown, and specifically the breakout game for him was against Cincinnati at Paul Brown Stadium on Thanksgiving weekend. He caught two passes on the opening drive of the game, including a 36-yarder that moved the Browns across midfield, and then a couple of plays later, he hauled in a 24-yard touchdown pass from Colt McCoy.
Excellent. Matt, thank you so much for this great breakdown, and we will talk to you again as the week goes on.
Sounds good, Vic. Have a good day.
All right. Matt Florjancic, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, helping us go inside the numbers at the wide receiver position from the 2011 season. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12, in stores now, EA Sports, it's in the game.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty, Vince, Poland, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Palmer Heights, Vermillion.
Celebrate the new year with a new device from Verizon, like the 4G LTE Pantech Breakout. Now only $49.99 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card. Plus, buy a new 4G LTE smartphone and you can double your data for the same low price. Visit any Verizon store, VerizonWireless.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Verizon. Requires new 2-year activation and data pack. Early termination and other fees apply. Double your data applies to new activations or upgrades and data packs 2 gigabytes or higher. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Hey, Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your waste. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game day. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources and the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
This is the year I eat right.
I quit smoking.
I lose weight.
This is the year, and it starts at Sam's Club. Count on Sam's Club for solutions for your resolution.
I'll start with a free health screening.
Check cholesterol, blood pressure, glucose, and BMI. January 14th from 11 to 3 in your club.
I got a personal plan to help me quit smoking.
Along with counseling and support from a Sam's Club pharmacist.
And I'm saving big.
On brands like Atkins, Ally,
and Nicoderm.
This year, it starts at
Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Visit samsclub.com/healthyliving to see the tests available at your local club.
Hey, Greeny.
Yes, Golic.
You know, part of being a real man is knowing how to take care of your car.
Then count me in as a man, Golic, because I know NTB is the place to go.
That's because NTB has the largest selection of name brand tires, and with over 1 million tires available every day, NTB always has the right tire for your car, truck, or SUV.
And don't forget, Golic, you can bring the car to NTB for all of your service needs, too. It's easy. They're open early, open late, and open 7 days a week.
So why pay outrageous prices when you can trust the professionally trained NTB technicians who are ASE certified? And I bet you didn't know, Greeny, that the best way to pay is with the NTB credit card that can be used at over 650 locations nationwide.
So, let's get the stats straight, Golic, because we know you're easily confused. NTB isn't just tires at great prices. They're vehicle maintenance, brakes, oil changes, repairs, and much, much more.
You got it, Greeny. NTB is keeping the world in perfect motion.
Hey, the roadman, Kenny Rohde here, and are you ready for the snow? The team at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge is, as they want to make you a deal you can't refuse. Like the 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport. Lease it right now starting as low as $259 a month for 36 months with no money down. That's crazy. I'm driving one of these babies right now and loving it. The look, the way it handles, the all-weather capability, and it's a trail-rated vehicle so I can go anywhere and do anything in my 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport. Come check out what I'm talking about. Take it for a test drive at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge, 123 Broadway Avenue on the historic Bedford Auto Mile. Maybe you're not into leases. You want to buy? Even better. How about a starting price of $20,500 on that brand new 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport? Only at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge, 123 Broadway Avenue on the Bedford Auto Mile. So come take advantage of it. Save big. Hurry, these prices won't last. Call today for more info, 440-232-2121, and tell them the Roadman sent you.
And we truly appreciate the fact that you've spent this portion of your Monday with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We are going to go into the mailbag. Going to check out the letters that you've sent to me via our official Browns Facebook and Twitter pages. Todd wants to know, didn't they say that Lawrence Vickers, quote, didn't fit the system because fullback will be part of the passing game? Owen Marisic, 5 receptions, 31 yards as a rookie this year. Vickers had 4 receptions for 29 yards. Well, I would say the difference is this. The Browns staff, this group, identified Marisic as the, you know, long-term guy, younger guy that they wanted, and going forward, the player that they felt best fit what the offensive approach is, this West Coast system, and are very high on him and believe in him very much that he will continue to be a better player. He had the concussion. I mean, that was one setback for him, but overall, a guy who I think from a physical standpoint and from an understanding of what they're doing offensively and how he'll be incorporated, not just as a receiver, although I think there'll be more of that, but I think it's blocking. I think it's, you know, pass protection. And you're not convincing this staff that there was any sort of setback not going the Vickers way. I don't think losing Vickers was the detriment, or letting him go was the detriment to an offense that had a lot of issues. That would have been last on my list of problems. Kyle, do the Browns regret passing on Julio Jones? We talked about this at the top of the show. Will Shear Taylor be better long term? Well, Kyle, right off the bat, I would say no. I don't think they regret passing on Julio Jones. And I think Julio Jones is a talented guy. But I think when you look at what the impact he was supposed to have on the Falcons, again, I didn't see what they were looking for, which was the difference maker to get them to the Super Bowl, to the promised land. And I don't think his difference necessarily was with a Browns team that had issues up front, offensive line, lacking in some of the other areas within the receiving corps. I don't think that player was going to be the difference maker, the shortcomings of the running game. And Jabal Sheard, outstanding player, outstanding season, outstanding rookie. Phil Taylor, not as good, but solid. And I think he will be better. Yes, I think long-term, both of them as a duo, there's a lot of reason to be excited about them. Rich, lots of Blackman talk. If he's off the board, who would the Browns target? I like Floyd from Notre Dame, big, strong guy with hops. Rich, a little early to talk about who's being targeted specifically among names, even though, they have that fourth pick, and it's not a lot to look at, but we heard Tom Heckert say last week, you can't screw that pick up. Can't screw up the pick, I should say, because of how high it is. And I think Blackman, I think you're looking at any number of pretty good players, 4 or 5, that fit the bill at multiple positions. That would be fascinating players to think about and ponder. But we do have a long time to do that. We have a long time to do that, and that's the beauty of this offseason. We'll be taking this show to the Senior Bowl. We'll be talking about, players there, and we'll be with the Browns, coaches and scouts that are there, and kind of give you a feel about that whole process, that entire week at Mobile, Alabama. So, again, more ahead of us in terms of pre-draft talk, and once we're past the Super Bowl, that will be the thrust of this show pretty much every day. Sean, via Facebook, why is everyone on the RG3, Robert Griffin III, bandwagon? He didn't face a good defense once this year. Inflated stats doesn't equal NFL quarterback. I mean, you could make the case that there are issues with his game that don't perfectly translate to the NFL. Phil Simms told me it does. Phil Simms said, this guy is a really good NFL player, and there isn't, you know, there aren't qualities that he dislikes about him. In fact, he said there's what's not to like about him. Well, he's 6'1". I don't know if that, I mean, height-wise, that kind of puts you right at the same place you currently sit with Colt McCoy. You know, extraordinary, does he have extraordinary physical gifts? He runs well. But, you know, I'd say there's a lot more I want to hear about the guy before I'm totally, totally sold. We want to thank Bernie Kosar. We want to thank Scott Patrick, Matt Florjancic, Pat McKenna, Will Burge, our great producer tonight. Talk to you again tomorrow night on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.